me, bitch! Google me!
Do you know that if is the middle word in life?
Go ahead.
You can keep forgetting all about your losing years and blaming it on you. You can trust yourself and all without you. I mean, I know, I can't. I'm a little man. I'm a little man.
Rooted revelation.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. It is March 29th. Happy Friday. It is Good Friday. Today's top stories, while Sam Bankman-Fried gets sentenced to 25 years for fraud as his cryptocurrency company stole billions and helped launder Democratic Party monies through Ukraine. None of that, however, was admissible for some reason. Does anybody believe he will serve 25 years in prison? No, I don't think he will. Also, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer and the middle class gets poorer and everyone gets poorer except the rich. We'll look into that briefly. And conservatives, which try to limit spending and get continually demonized around the globe so the rich can get their hands on your tax dollars. And part of that is culturally, and the progressives get subversive, infiltrating conservative groups and poisoning them with unsound ideas. Let's go. And you'll see that in Beyonce's new country album. I guess she's got a southern album coming out. But also, you have to look at the fact that you know, the conservative cause is being undermined around the world. Everybody's a right-wing extremist if you just don't believe that borrowing more and more money for your and using your tax dollars to pay for unsustainable programs is an issue. You're a terrible person and a racist. Don't forget to engage the channel, like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share the podcast. So let's get in to the headlines. I can never get that transition right. I don't know what the hell happens here. Is that, nothing's working as usual. But in any case, so this is from Fast Company. How much jail time will Sam Bankman-Fried actually serve even if he loses his appeal? The FTX founder almost certainly won't serve his full 25-year prison sentence, says an expert. And not only an expert, but also CNN Business, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison. How long will SBF actually serve? SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried may serve as little as 12 and a half years. That's half his sentence if he gets all the jailhouse credit available to him, which he certainly will. Moving on to other headlines, the Washington Post, once wary of extremist violence, Europe now fears extremism in politics. Well, first of all, extremism was apparently a problem when extremism led to violence. Now, extremism means violence. It means your political ideology, you stop talking or debating the benefits of your political or your ideology, and you resort to the violence. That in itself denotes extremism. But in Europe, apparently, that's not the case. And they go on to say in this article, for years, discussion of extremism across Europe was about Islamic extremism and terrorism. But the debate now shifted to extreme right ideologies, whatever that is, with governments saying that they need to be regulated to protect their democracies. The issue is arguably most vivid in Germany, where calls for a ban of the far-right Alternative for Germany group, the AfD, the country's second most popular political party, are growing, and the government wants to cut off funding sources of right-wing extremist networks, whatever that is, that political parties. political funding. In Britain, the government wants to keep extremists from meeting with lawmakers or receiving public funds, and it plans to publish a new list of groups it considers extremists, focusing more on beliefs rather than propensity for violence. Well, a belief isn't extreme. It's willing to go to the lengths of violence to forward your ideas, which indeed makes them extreme. You just having an idea, what is right wing? Well, right wing is just individual, and the problem that right wing or individualism runs into is you believe in the freedom of individual thought. So if you happen to have an individual thought that you believe in, that you should be able to at least speak about it, you know, if not discuss it or debate it. But that's not what the left wants with democracies. They don't want individual thought at all. They want communal thought. And that is indeed the problem. So talking about what you believe in as an individual is not extremist. So you may believe that an influx of different cultures overwhelming, let's say in immigration, overwhelming your democracy might be problematic culturally, perhaps. Well, that's not extremist. That just happens to be a belief you might have. So, I mean, we're not talking about replacement theory at all. We're just talking about maybe allowing tens of millions of immigrants into your country per year. Maybe that would be problematic for the cohesiveness of your culture or your country. And that's not a big deal, and that's just an idea. So what the left is trying to do is to outlaw ideas, an individual idea that you might have. Now, I would never promote violence to forward any idea. I believe that you should be able to debate your idea, and maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's a bad idea, but that's what democracies are based on, being able to debate ideas. The right is just conservative, particularly fiscally, economically, is that you believe you shouldn't be spending a lot of tax dollars on programs, whatever they may be. That's conservatism. Other ideas on the right include individualism and individual thought. Now, from France 24, the next headline, disinformation targeting Brigitte Macron spreads beyond France. Now, if you watched Alex Jones recently, he debated Rabbi Shmuley or whatever his name is. And Rabbi Shmuley started going off about Brigitte Macron. Now, this is not an anti-Semitic question. What is the problem with Brigitte Macron? Well, years after, not false posts, because that's characterizing, years after posts began circulating on social media purporting Brigitte Macron is a transgender woman, the French First Lady remains the target of fake claims with a transphobic disinformation spreading to the United States. Now, I'm going to pick apart this headline right here and say, first of all, they characterize false posts, so they're just coming out and saying it's a lie when they have no proof that Brigitte Macron is not a transgender woman. Now, we've seen, and you might have seen Candace Owens delve into this, and, you know, I could care less whether she's trans or not. What she is a cradle robber, because apparently she started having an affair with Emmanuel Macron, the premier or the president of France, when he was 14. They started having a sexual relationship when she was, purportedly, his teacher. But in any case, whatever you think about whether she's trans or not trans or whatever, I could care less. It's the same thing with Michelle Obama. She may or may not be whatever. But you could certainly be able to posit whether or not you believe this person is a man or not. The problem with this headline is years after false posts, you don't know if the posts are false. We can't get conclusive evidence either way. And then they say fake claims. So false posts and fake claims. This is propaganda right now. Because a claim is not supposed to be characterized as false. Only the propagandists do this. And that's trying to get to indicate to you that the claim is false when they can't prove it. Transphobic disinformation spreading to the United States. We don't know. I don't particularly care, but people are allowed to cast doubt upon assertions. That's democracy. It's not disinformation. Disinformation and misinformation is what intelligence agencies use when they know the truth and they willingly and wittingly put out false information to try to get you to believe something that's false. That's what intelligence agencies do. But if I sit here and posit, you know, I don't think the moon landing ever happened, or not that I believe that, or that Bridget Macron is a transgender woman, I could do that. And you could, it's the same thing, or I say, you know, I don't think Sandy Hook happened the way they say it did. You would have to give me unrefutable evidence that your narrative of what happened was indeed the case. Hey, I'm willing to change my belief, my opinion. No problem with that. But they can't do that. They don't give you irrefutable evidence. They just come out and say it's a false report, it's a false post, it's a fake claim, it's disinformation. This leads me to believe that it's true. Because when people start coming out and said, what you said is false, what you said is fake, it's misinformation, it's disinformation, and they can't provide irrefutable proof, then that means you're on the right track. So thank you, Candace Owens, even though I don't care. Politico reports in California, San Francisco, Democrats are locked in a race to the right. Now, why would they do that? Democratic mayoral candidates are engaging in games of one-upmanship by launching conservative-sounding plans to increase law enforcement and force people into addiction treatment. Why would people on the left be trying to sound conservative? You know why. Because leftist policies don't work culturally and particularly fiscally. And you'll see, because the United States is bankrupt and we're approaching $1 trillion of annual debt service. $1 trillion, that's a lot of money. And $1 trillion per year could provide a lot of social programs. But we're not. We're paying it to the banks and the countries that are invested in our debt. Washington Post reports at NBC and MSNBC question swirl over the Rona McDaniel hire. The issue with this, of course, is that now they're trying to play the blame game, which is like, who hired Rona McDaniel? And like, it made it such a big deal. And I'll get into this in just a second. They talk about Chuck Todd, who sucks. I mean, he's really an awful and not a journalist. But Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski, says, believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage, but she rejected McDaniel's suitability for the role, calling her a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. So if you have questions, right, about an election, you're an election denier, immediately you're anti-democracy. I'm not anti-democracy. I just don't believe in supreme democracy or democracy that takes away rights, constitutional rights of individuals. Speaking of taking away rights of individuals, the New York Times is reporting new pollution rules aim to lift sales of electric trucks. The latest in a string of ambitious climate regulations aims to clean up heavier polluters on the road, but truckers are worried. Of course they are. Because we're marching toward another leftist Save the Planet plan about banning things, particularly gas-powered motor vehicles, but combustion, regular combustion on any level. And that should worry you, because the thing about combustion is that it provides cheap power for everyone. So, and you're not reliant on the electrical grid, which could jack up prices to actually price you out of the market. So poor people will live without electricity. Or they could use the social credit score to cut electricity off or cut your car off if you go out of your designated area. And that's basically controlling you through the electrical grid. But if there's combustion, if you have a generator or you live out in the sticks somewhere, you don't want to be connected to the grid, maybe you have solar power and a Tesla battery, good for you, great. But taking combustion away is going to make electricity more expensive, and it's going to get poor people out of the electrical market. Wall Street Journal opinion by the editorial board posits the coming electricity crisis. Artificial intelligence, data centers, and climate rules are pushing the power grid to what could become a breaking point. What they're going to do is to ration electricity. They're going to price people out of the electrical market. So you'll have to give up your private residence, and there may be other consequences of this. In any case, you're going to lose sovereignty, and that's the point. Also, from Just the News, Brett Davis reports Washington State Governor signs natural gas ban bill. So here you go again. In Washington State, they're taking away your ability to burn, your ability to combust. So whether it's a wood stove or natural gas, which is actually a clean burning fossil fuel. So I don't understand if climate people are so really interested in cleaning up the climate, why wouldn't they concentrate on petroleum, oil burning furnaces and what have you, and kind of switch over to natural gas and then switch to even cleaner? But it's the same thing with atomic power. Now, I don't believe in atomic power because fission reactors are dirty and they produce a lot of radioactive waste. But the climate people are all worried about, oh, all the CO2. Well, nuclear power plants don't produce CO2, so that shouldn't be an issue, but they don't like that anyway. So that's the problem, is they just want to get rid of every source of electrical power generation. It was, like I said, it would be one thing, like Obama was doing, is concentrating on coal plants, but they don't. They're going after everything, which makes their agenda clear. So from Just the News, Jay Inslee of Thursday Afternoon signed into law a controversial bill. Why would it be controversial? Meant to allow Puget Sound Energy to start planning how to move away from natural gas. The bill creates the roadmap and tools for our state's largest utility to get out of the fossil fuel business. And how would they generate power and achieve net zero emissions by 2050? And everybody knows what net zero emissions means. Death to the third world. Inslee said the engrossed substitute House Bill 1589 during the bill signing event from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 46 in Kent. Other headlines in the news: New York Post, photos of Hamas terrorists parading Shani Luke's body wins top award, sparking outrage. If you didn't know about this award, now this is the Pictures of the Year International Award category. This is the Journalism School of Missouri, particularly was the pinnacle of photojournalism, and Missouri School of Journalism, the world's oldest photojournalism competition, which I have competed in, never won, excuse me. But the AP won in Team Picture Story of the Year category, prompted widespread backlash of the social media, with some slamming the accolade and the use of Luke's image as outrageous desecration of Jewish life. Of course, now you can't show anything. You can't show a Jewish person anywhere in a bad light, because that's anti-Semitic. If this were a post about photojournalism covering a war, an important news topic that affects the whole world, it could lead us into World War III, But if this was another militant group parading around another victim of war violence, let's say if it was an Iraqi or a Taliban or another Afghani or a Pakistani or a Bosnian or whatever, there wouldn't be any backlash, would there? If another militant group was parading around, when they won photography awards for the Somalis dragging American troops through the street, nobody complained about that. That's photojournalism. If there wasn't photojournalism, you wouldn't know about it. That's why photojournalism and journalism is so important, because you have to report on things that people don't like. And that's why journalism is dying, is because it's the squawking of the left continually about shit they don't like. And my answer to them is, fuck you. I don't care if you don't like it. And that used to be the case with most people, with the majority of people. If you don't like something, don't look at it. Turn the page, turn the channel, shut it off, turn off, get off Twitter, get off social media, get off. That used to be in the day you could just turn away. But now, and when I was in journalism, that was the whole thing. You would always debate on whether to publish something. And you would try to do so with the utmost concern with your readership and what have you, and whether there was a picture of a dead body or something, you know, how big you would publish it, you know, whether you have alternatives, what have you. That would always go on. And sometimes the need to publish such things would outweigh the gruesomeness of the picture. You know, you have to weigh those two things, the content versus the need to see the content. And it's the same thing with Sandy Hook or whatever, the mass shootings. Why can't we see the crime scene? Because that's why people don't believe. It's like, why can't we go into polling places and watch them count the ballots? What is so alarming about that? There isn't an alarm. Wall Street Journal is reporting, where are this year's tax refunds going? Right into the debt hole, with credit card debt at record levels. Refunds are helping people make ends meet. Middle class people and poor people are subsidizing their income with credit cards. And so they're eventually going to have to pay off those credit cards. Meanwhile, the wealth of the 1% just hit a record $44 trillion. And this is from NBC. The AFP is reporting Beyonce goes cowboy core with new album heavy on Texas roots. And The Guardian reports Beyonce Cowboy Carter review from hoedown to full-blown genre throwdown. And this album, American Requiem, the opening track of Beyonce's 8th studio album, is many things. It offers a touch of State of the Union address. Can we stand for something? Now it's time to face the wind and a sprinkling of the kind of vague but apparently personal lyrics that send social media into a frenzy of decoding. What are her father's sins and Beyonce's apparently cleansed herself of? And what are Fairweather friends from whom she claims to be planning a funeral? And this is taking aim at Texas. And of course, they're trying to, and they have been trying to undermine country music as a whole, because it's a conservative bastion. And any cultural conservative bastion, they're trying to infiltrate and undermine. Why? So conservatives don't have a cultural foothold. And that's so we can, you know, the Democrats, the socialists, it's really that are socialists, want to go to one-party rule. Don't forget how most communists, and even the Nazis, how they got into power. They were voted in, and then they pointed to the other political parties, like they're doing in Europe, and say, they're extreme. Those people can't, their ideas are dangerous. They can't serve in government. You can't vote for them. When in reality, it's just the other side of the coin. That's what makes a two-party system work, is the dialectic, is that they're supposed to compromise so you never get to the extreme policies. You get to compromise the right and the left, but now the left has taken over, and that's why we're you know, $37 trillion in debt because the Keynesian fiscal people think it's okay to keep borrowing ad nauseum. Debt doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When your debt service reaches $1 trillion a year, what is that? Half to a quarter of your total tax revenue is going to debt service? Come on. Wall Street Journal also reports the audacious MGA hack that brought chaos to Las Vegas. A gang of young criminals, where from, we don't know. A more than $30 million ransom, casinos in disarray, 6 days inside the cyber attack that put corporate America on notice. Doesn't matter. It's the threat of cyber attack, a fake cyber attack. Anybody could say they could just shut off the electrical grid and said it was a cyber attack. So. All right, I don't think that was too long. I'm really late in the afternoon today. I got to get to the bank. So thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share the podcast. Thanks for joining me today, and I will see you next week. Have a great Easter. Have a great Friday. Great weekend. And I will see you next week. Respect.
Google me, bitch! Google me!